Welcome to American Indian Living, a program developed by the Native Education and Health Initiative to improve and enhance the health of people throughout the Native communities. American Indian Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he's ready today to help you learn more about your health. Here's Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're talking today about something that may seem like a harmless pastime, but it has profound consequences, consequences that can impact our health on a number of fronts, whether it's our occupational health, financial health, mental health, emotional health, even physical health. The subject is one that often, though, does not come up in discussions about health factors. Today's subject is on gossip. That's right, you heard me, gossip. We're going to be looking at the health implications through the eyes of someone who is expertly qualified to speak about this, Dr. Nick DeFonso. He's the professor of psychology at the Rochester Institute of Technology in Rochester, New York. Nick, it's great to have you with us on today's show.
Hi, David. Thanks for inviting me.
You know, our listeners are probably intrigued. I mean, they're thinking, there's actually people who are experts on the subject of gossip.
Well, that's right. Gossip and rumor have enjoyed a long history of scholarly study in psychology, and in particular in social psychology and sociology. And so we do know quite a bit about why people transmit these rumors and the effects that they have and how they can be prevented.
Well, I mean, it's a fascinating subject. In Native American circles, of course, there has always been a high regard on integrity and openness and actually not just speaking out of turn, being very careful with one's words. And yet, whether a person today is tuning in from a Native American background or they're from another cultural persuasion, The world that we live in has pressed people of all kinds of racial and ethnic backgrounds into a common mold that seems to make it easier in today's culture maybe than in past cultures to spread gossip and rumor. Is that just my take on it, or is there really some evidence that historically some cultures have been more reserved in speech than we are today?
Well, I think that today, with the advent of Internet communications, especially the kinds of communications where you can be anonymous, I think that those kinds of forums do encourage the spread of negative and possibly malicious gossip and rumor. I don't know if we rumor and gossip more today than we did in yesteryear, but I do know that the Internet and these anonymous gossip sites have encouraged the ability to spread dirt about our neighbor or about people that are well-known, or to discuss negative things about people that we might be hesitant to do when the format was strictly face-to-face.
Good point. So you know, for those who are listening today, I mean, I think we mentioned the word gossip and rumor, and I think the average person is going to say, well, I don't need any definition of that. We all know what it is. But as a physician, as someone who's been involved in research and writing, I always like to make sure everyone's on the same level understanding what we're really talking about. Is there a particularly good definition for these terms that will help us as we're launching into our discussion today, Nick?
Yes, rumor is unverified bits of information that are in circulation. And usually people are trying to make sense of their situation or of recent events or of a topic that they're interested in, or they're trying to reduce risk or threat or potential threat. So a classic example of what I call pure rumor would be, hey, I heard that our department is being downsized. What have you heard? You see, that's a situation where people are anxious about losing their jobs, and they'll talk about this potential negative outcome with other coworkers and other people who might know something. Pure gossip, on the other hand, is evaluative social chat, usually about someone who's not present, usually of a personal or private nature, and often it's negative. So the classic example of gossip might be, hey, I heard about Joe at the party the other night. Did you hear the awful thing that he did? And that would be an example of shame gossip. Or, did you hear the fantastic thing that he did? And that would be an example of laudatory gossip. It's often difficult to tell the difference between the two. They are quite related. Rumors, for example, can often be rather negative or of a personal nature. And gossip can be or can have sense-making purposes associated with it. People can gossip with one another in order to try and figure out what events mean and to try to predict the future. But I advance those two definitions to try and separate out two primary purposes for each kind of hearsay.
So we've got motivation that's obviously going behind any behavior. What is it that actually drives people to engage in these behaviors that often have destructive consequences?
Well, I like to say that there are at least three motivations that people have in spreading this kind of hearsay. And the first one is probably the most innocent and most useful, and that's fact-finding. People are just simply trying to ferret out the facts in an uncertain environment. So when you share a rumor about an upcoming dam is breaking, then it's useful to share that rumor with other people and to try and figure out whether or not, indeed, the dam is going to be breaking and whether or not you ought to be running from the site. A second motive is just purely social. In fact, sharing a rumor with somebody can be almost like a handshake or a greeting. We share rumors with people that we're friends with. It kind of greases the social bonds that we have. Hey, did you hear about this? Is a way to signify a friendship with one another. And the rumor might actually improve relationships with one another, might actually increase a sense of affiliation or caring between two people. And the third motivation is that rumors help us defend ourselves from psychological threats, or they help us to boost our self-esteem. Sometimes we may share a rumor, unfortunately, for about something negative about another person or another group in order to boost our own sense of self-esteem. The idea behind this is if we spread something negative about the other group, then it kind of makes our group look better by comparison. And we call this motivation a self-enhancement type motivation. And there are other motivations that can fit into these or are in addition to these, such as a pro-social motivation. We sometimes share rumors in order to help other people defend against a threat or to help other people try and make sense of a situation.
Can you give us an example of that, Dr. Nick? Anything come to mind?
Sure. When we share a rumor about someone else in their department being downsized, I've often used that, or I've sometimes used that in experimental manipulations where you'll read a story about someone sharing a rumor about someone else's department being downsized. You have nothing to gain by sharing that rumor. It's only helping the other person try to figure out whether or not their department is going to be downsized. I'll give you a second example. I often receive email forwards about bad things that could happen to my computer. And the person sends it to me in order to help me avoid the bad things that would happen to my computer. These rumors are often false. they're sharing it with me to help me, not out of any malicious motive, not out of any necessarily to make sense for themselves, but just simply to help me avoid a bad event.
Okay. You know, one of the interesting things about these different motivations and the different sources that we have gossip and rumor coming at us from, or that we are involved in perpetuating it, is it seems like it would be useful when we hear something to have at least some filters to say, well, can we have confidence that this is somewhat likely? Is this most likely something we should just dismiss out of hand? You know, you mentioned the electronic communications, the four words about, you know, some computer problem. Has anyone actually looked at the likelihood of certain rumors being true or not?
Well, as a matter of fact, I've looked fairly intently at that question for about a dozen to 15 years. In fact, that's the question that has most intrigued me. How do you know that what you hear is true is indeed true? A kind of a way to frame that question is the way you framed it, is how likely is it that a particular rumor will in fact be accurate, and how likely is it that it will in fact be inaccurate? So I call this the accuracy question. And the overall finding is that some situations seem to produce very accurate rumors. 95-100% of the rumor is true. Other situations, the rumors that come out of these situations are abysmal. They're very unlikely to be accurate in any way whatsoever. So there are some factors that are associated with accuracy and factors associated with inaccuracy. And a couple of these factors that are the most important are motivation and the ability of the group to ferret out the facts. So very briefly, with regard to motivation, if you sense, if you hear a rumor and you sense or you judge that the people spreading the rumor, the people through which the rumor is spreading, are sharing that rumor out of a desire to figure out the facts, in other words, they're accuracy motivated, then it's more likely that the rumor will indeed be accurate. So an example of this are journalists. Journalists, despite recent bad press on the media, overall, studies show that because they have editors breathing down their neck and they can be held accountable for what they say, journalists are motivated to ferret out facts. They may have other motivations, as all people do, but at least they're ultimately held accountable for what they say. So in general, we can trust what news media and journalists say, as opposed to the blogosphere. People can say anything they want to on the internet, and the blogosphere has a much lower level of accuracy than what you would read in a mainstream newspaper.
Okay. Is there anything when we deal with individuals in our own lives? You know, you talk about motivation. If you sense that someone has something to gain by sharing the rumor, is it more likely to be incorrect, or that's not a good predictor?
Oh, no, that's a very good predictor. People do this all the time. They try to make a judgment about the stakeholder status of the person sharing the rumor or the people that are actively discussing the rumor. What is it that they have to gain? And that all has to do with the judgment about the credibility of the source of the rumor. And we've known for a long time in social psychology that people that have a higher credibility, that is, we can trust them, they have knowledge or expertise about the subject matter. These people give us better or more accurate.
Nick, we've got to step away for just a minute. We're hoping that you don't step away, though, as you're tuning into today's edition of American Indian Living. Dr. Nick DeFonso is an expert in the area of gossip and rumor. He's got a lot more practical insights for us. Don't go away.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Today's American Indian Living Radio program is sponsored in part by the Native Education and Health Initiative, also known as NAHI, a nonprofit organization established by Native Americans for Native Americans. In addition to sponsoring American Indian Living, NAHI produces a health publication and has initiated a series of programs to combat diabetes. Further information about NAHI is available at nahicharity.org. The Lifestyle Center of America is another American Indian Living sponsor. Located in South Central Oklahoma, the Lifestyle Center provides a variety of health services in Indian country, including residential diabetes treatment programs and their Wellspring DVD series, a prepackaged diabetes program suitable for home, workplace, or community center used by people of all races. Further information about the center is available at lifestylecenter.org or by phone at 1-800-596-5480.
Some important social statements by United States citizens today on policy.
To be a good American, you've got to like people, share things, and not scream at people. And you should also help them, and then you can share at them.
A statement on historical tradition and our form of government.
I love America because it got government full of people and full of people. Full of people.
A statement on down-to-earth American idealism.
I like living in America because it means freedom. It means that you can do most stuff you want as long as it doesn't, like, hurt anybody and you have to work hard to keep it.
America, a statement in summary.
I love America because everybody's equal. And when you play with other kids and they dunk you, you can dunk them back.
You're listening to a pre-recorded broadcast of American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is your host.
Welcome back to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're speaking today with Dr. Nick DeFonso. Dr. DeFonso is a professor of psychology at the Rochester Institute of Technology in Rochester, New York. He is an active researcher in the area of gossip and rumor. He is an author. He's a popular speaker on this topic, and he's lending his expertise to help us understand better this whole phenomenon that, regardless of whether you're listening from the heart of Indian country, perhaps on a reservation, whether you're in an urban setting and have Native American roots, or whether you're just tuning in today and from a totally different cultural background, we're looking at something that has profound health effects in communities. And Dr. Nick, I don't know, as we speak about this subject, is it safe to say, just as a brief aside before we go back to the reliability of certain rumors and hearsay sources of information, is it safe to say that the closer knit the group or the community, that the greater the potential for problems if there is inaccurate messages being transmitted in rumor? Is that something safe to say, or is that just conjecture?
Well, I think there's two effects that can occur. By the way, that's an interesting question. The research shows that close-knit groups do a lot of informal talk with one another. On the one hand. So you would expect that in close-knit groups, there's a lot of gossip and there's a lot of rumor going around. Simply because they often talk more with one another. It's easy to chat with someone because there are so many people to chat with and to discuss a matter with or discuss someone with. On the other hand, the research shows that the more active a rumor is in a particular in a close-knit network, then the greater chance it has of being accurate if the group has certain characteristics. If, for example, the group has some people in it that know whether or not the rumor is true. And if the group, mm-hmm. as we were talking about before, as a whole, is interested in ferreting out the truth rather than just making themselves feel better or improving mm-hmm. relationships with one another. So the interesting thing is that in close-knit groups like workplace office environments, they're often close-knit, densely connected groups, people care about figuring out the truth of the rumor. And mm-hmm. oftentimes there are people in that network that actually know the facts. And in those kinds of situations, rumors are often 100% accurate. So if you're in one of those kinds of situations where you're in an established grapevine and people care about the facts, and some people will probably know the facts, I would bet money on that rumor being true over the long term.
Okay. Now, am I correct in saying that you've actually done some research or looked at data and rumors, for example, in the military and things of this nature as well, and found those to be highly accurate also?
I've looked at research done by others that's been around for some time, done on military rumors. There was one particular study during World War II in which an intelligence officer collected rumors circulating in the U.S. Navy once a month and had to fill out an intelligence report. And his overwhelming conclusion was that in this, again, tightly knit structure where people were talking about important issues, and there were some people in the network that knew the facts, these rumors were 100% correct over time.
Hmm. That's amazing. So really, you know, kind of brings us back to this whole question of evaluating rumors. So we're learning some situations with motivation and connectedness and things that are good predictors of accuracy. Are there some other things we should be putting on the list?
Well, yes. On the negative side, again, let's go back to motivation. If the group within which the rumor is circulating has an axe to grind, if one of your listeners, if you hear a rumor or a bit of gossip, and it's easy to imagine that the person spreading that rumor has something to gain by the spread of that rumor, or the people spreading that rumor have something to gain. Either it makes them feel better, for example, or if it provides them a financial advantage, then I would distrust that rumor. So some examples of that are when someone tries to sell you something and then shares a rumor that's negative about the competitor's products,
uh-huh.
obviously you would do well to be careful about believing that rumor. And I should say one rule of thumb that ties in both motivation and networks is, one rule of thumb for believing a rumor is to check the rumor for two independent sources, for two independent and credible sources. So I advise everyone to get on the internet and use Snopes.com or TruthOrFiction.com or UrbanLegends.com. And what these good people do is spend their days investigating rumors that are reported to them, and then they document what they found so that we can just go to one place and look at the evidence for what they've found and determine whether or not the rumor is true.
So the three sources that you mentioned were Snopes.com, TruthOrFiction.com, and UrbanLegends.com?
Yes, that's right.
And you yourself have written some material on these matters. You've got a couple of books out. Is that correct, Dr. Nick?
Well, that's right. One scholarly book that I wrote with my colleague Prashant Bordia is called Rumor Psychology, and that was published with the American Psychological Association. The most recent book is aimed at a general audience, and that just came out about a month ago, and that's entitled the water cooler effect. A psychologist explores the extraordinary power of rumors. And if your reader, if your listeners are interested at all in either of these books, or just in information about rumor at all, I operate a website entitled ProfessorNick.com, in which I try to provide some information about rumor, how it spreads, how it becomes accurate or less accurate, and how it can be managed on that website. So the website is ProfessorNick.com.
And that's Nick, N-I-C-K?
That's correct.
Now, you know, since you mentioned the subtitle of your recent book, The Water Cooler Effect, the power, we're talking about the power now of these hearsay-type communications. This show, we typically focus on different things that can impact our health. Is it safe to say that rumor and gossip can have significant health effects?
Absolutely. I find that there are at least two ways in which rumors can affect people's health. One is that rumors can spread information that people use in health decision-making that is incorrect. I recently did a study with a graduate student, and we collected rumors about cancer on the Internet. And what we found was that some rumors that are quite false are widespread and seem to be affecting decision-making with regard to cancer treatment. One of these false rumors, for example, is that when a person who has cancer treats it using surgery, when that cancer is exposed to the air, it automatically spreads to the rest of the body. And that's a false rumor. It's been documented. And in one study, it's found that 41% of the study sample believed that rumor. So I repeat, that's a false rumor. But you can imagine how hearing that rumor and believing it would affect the decision whether or not to have surgery or obtain some other kind of cancer treatment. And so one of the effects is that simply bad information can be spread via the rumor mill, and it can affect, and it does affect, the decisions that are made by people to treat conditions in which they're undergoing. And the other widespread effect is that these negative rumors, especially if they're negative rumors, we've found that they contribute to the stress that people experience. So people who are in uncertain situations, such as they're not sure whether or not their job will be downsized, spread these rumors, and these negative rumors actually promote distrust among management coworkers, and they also increase stress.
Amazing. Our words have powerful effects. Dr. Nick DeFonso, he's walking us through some of the health consequences of rumor and gossip. We've got a lot more to come. Fascinating stuff that can make a difference in your life. Stay tuned for more. I'm Dr. DeRose.
American Indian Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
America's veterans have served our country in both war and peace.
It's because of people like you that we are free.
My class was learning about war and how hard it is.
I wanted to do something to let them know how I feel.
Now there is a way to thank them for helping keep America free. Log on to thankyouveterans.org and type a personal message of thanks.
Dear Dad, I've recently come to understand how important your service to America was, and I just wanted to say thank you.
There are 26 million veterans living in America today, from World War II to Afghanistan and Iraq.
We carry our experiences inside. It's nice to have someone say thanks.
Let a veteran know you appreciate their service. Log on to thankyouveterans.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
This is the Duchess of York. What's really important in your life? It's your family and your friends. But isn't it also your health? People who are overweight or obese are at a greater risk for illnesses such as cancer. Check your BMI or body mass index. The lower the number, the lower the risk. So lose weight in a healthy way. You'll lower your BMI number. Now, isn't that important? Visit the website of the American Cancer Society at www.cancer.org. You and your family and friends will be glad you did.
Thank you for listening to American Indian Living. If you missed some of the discussion, CD copies of today's show are available. CDs of previous broadcasts are also available. Our email address is AmericanIndianLiving@lifetalk.net. CD requests and comments can also be communicated by phone at 1-800-775-4673. That's 1-800-775-4673. Stay with us for the second half of today's program.
You're listening to a pre-recorded broadcast of American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is your host.
Welcome back to American Indian Living. Dr. David DeRose here with Dr. Nick DeFonso. Dr. DeFonso is an expert on the subject of gossip and rumor. He has done active research in the psychology field on this topic. He is the author of a couple of books. One is a professional resource called Rumor Psychology. The other, a lay book called The Water Cooler Effect. Dr. Nick, we've been speaking today about the health effects of rumor and gossip. And I'll tell you, our listeners for the, you know, of American Indian Living, I mean, they come from all kinds of backgrounds, whether they're in Indian country or outside of it. Many of them are members of faith communities. And I know people in that realm often have heard things about gossip. They've been told it's destructive. Is this, are there really moral implications or, you know, implications that kind of transcend any given denomination or faith community? Is this something that we need to be talking about in that spiritual and emotional realm as well?
Well, sure. There's a long list of religious and ethical teaching about the bad consequences of negative hearsay. So we find in the Bible, for example, throughout the book of Proverbs, you'll find cautions against spreading a tale about your neighbor and talking against your neighbor. I've talked with many pastors and other religious leaders, and whenever I tell them that I study rumor, they will turn to me and say, do I have a story for you about how gossip and rumor hurt me and my family and my congregation. And so one of the really unfortunate, sad and bad things that happens because sometimes rumor and gossip become rampant is that tight-knit groups of people are split apart. Whenever I share this kind of finding with my students, they'll often recall some of the most painful experiences they've had are when they felt that gossip and rumor was being spread about them. And in a church or religious setting where you often feel very close to the people with whom you're worshiping, gossip can be a very destructive force. If you've ever experienced even a taste of that, if you've ever been the target of a gossip campaign, or you've thought that you're the target of a rumor campaign, and you think that people are talking about you behind your back, you know how painful and troublesome and sucking up the energy of your emotional life that this can be. And that's part of the reason that I wrote this book, The Water Cooler Effect, was to help people understand the process better so that they might be able to deal with it better, so they might be a little more discerning and also a little more careful about what they say.
So basically, it sounds like one of the clear implications that we're getting out of this show, at least I'm walking away with it, you know, all this stuff about some of the dangers, especially of spreading negative information about other people. I mean, this is something that's destructive. We should, take great pains to avoid doing so. But the flip side is, it sounds like you've got some insights into what a person can do if they actually find themselves on the receiving end of gossip. Maybe they're in a tightly knit tribal setting. Maybe they're in a small reservation. Everyone is closely knit, and there are things being said about them that are not true. What can a person do, whether it's in that tribal setting, whether it's in a worship community, whether it's in a workplace? Are there actual strategies that can help a person do better in the face of gossip and rumor?
Yes, there are several principles that we can put to work that will at least diminish, if not stop, the negative spread of these rumors and gossip. It's really a two-part answer to your question. I'll take the first one, which is, what do you do about gossipy-type rumors? And then the other kind of question is, what do you do about more classic rumor-type spread? So if a person feels that they are being the target of a negative gossip campaign, or gossip is being spread about them, the first principle is that you base any response that you give on the truth. If the gossip is true, then the best thing to do is to confirm it. In other words, the finding is that people will ferret out the facts, if they're interested in ferreting out the facts, and if they're able to ferret out the facts, that the truth cannot be hid for long. So any response that one gives has to be based on the truth. Secondly, the principle is to reduce uncertainty. So, for example, what that means in an organizational setting or in a tribal setting or church setting is that you try to address any unanswered questions that there are. So, for example, if someone says something bad about you, and that's the gossip that's going around, it helps to address, why is that bad thing being said about you? So, for example, the question is, then how do you get the truth out? How do you tell people that it is a false rumor that's being spread? Would it be better to go to a public setting and say, this is not true? Or would it be better to do it in an informal way? Usually with gossip, it's better to do it in an informal way and get the truth out by sharing it with your friends who are well-connected in the informal circles. So if someone is spreading gossip about you and it's false, I recommend that you share the true facts about the issue at hand and that you rebut the gossip by talking with your friends who know other people in the group and getting out the facts. And I believe that in that situation, you stand the best chance of refuting the gossip in that informal setting. On the other hand, if it's pure rumor, a public refutation might be the best way to go about things. So if you were to stand up at a meeting and say that the department is not going to be downsized, the church is not going to be sued by the local contractor. Whatever the situation is, set the record straight in a public kind of way. Then that's the most appropriate way to reduce uncertainty.
So if someone's trying to say, well, what is this? Is this this so-called pure rumor that we're supposed to deal with publicly, or what you're calling more of a gossipy rumor? How do they tell the difference between the two?
Well, the way to tell the difference between the two in the area of refutation is, would it be appropriate to refute the rumor in a public setting or informally in the network? If it's more appropriate to put out a memo or a news release or stand up at a meeting and say, this is not true, then I call that more of a rumor, pure rumor that's being spread. Mm-hmm. Whereas if it's a gossipy type thing, it's very inappropriate to stand up at a church meeting, for example, and say, there is gossip being spread about me, and it's false. Imagine that happening. It just would be, because it's so inappropriate and unusual for that to happen, it would just raise more uncertainty, and people mm-hmm, would start mm-hmm. to talk and perhaps think, oh, I wonder what they're trying to hide. I wonder if it's true. You stand a better chance. It's more appropriate and raises less questions and less uncertainty if the truth is spread informally in the same way that the gossip is being spread informally.
So it almost seems as if the gossipy rumor has somehow influenced or affected the person's credibility who the gossip is being spread about. So for them to get up and make a declaration, I mean, that doesn't help their case necessarily, whereas if it's spread through other kind of trusted contacts in the community, their friends, that's more likely to get the truth out. Is that another way of looking at it?
Well, that's right. I'd even go further than that and say that the gossipy rumor is harder to refute just because your motivations for refuting it are automatically suspect. The classic rumor also takes that principle into account, but it's less difficult. So if I'm the target of a rumor, it's more justifiable for me to stand up and say, oh, this is false. People will understand me giving that public refutation more easily than they will a gossipy type rumor. But both the principle works in both situations. One way to use this principle is to use this trusted third-party source to make the refutation. So if you have a friend who is trusted by other people within which the rumor is spreading or the gossip is spreading, then ask this friend to make a statement on your behalf. And when this friend stands up and says, there is a malicious bit of rumor or gossip being spread about Nick or David or Sally, and this rumor is absolutely false, and here's why it is false, and then they give an explanation point by point, based upon the truth, then that refutation by a third-party, trusted, neutral source will go a long way to diminishing the spread of the rumor or the gossip. It's
very
still
good.
Very difficult, however. Gossip especially is very difficult to stop. But if we use these kinds of principles, I think we'll go a long way toward reducing the negative effects of such gossip.
Now, Dr. Nick, I know you've spent lots of time researching this. We've heard about some of the things you've done, some of the resources you've prepared, but I know people often tune into just parts of this show. If they've just tuned in, maybe they've only been with us for 5 or 10 minutes, and they're saying, boy, this is good information. I'd like to get more. You've got some contact information that can be a real help. Would you share your website and some of the resources that are there again?
Sure. My website is ProfessorNick.com, or ProfNick.com for short. And especially if people are interested in refuting rumors and gossip or managing rumors and gossip, they can go to chapter 8 in my book. And that's available at thewatercoolereffect.com if people are interested in that book.
Okay, we'll give that information out again before we finish. We've got one more segment, a lot of good material. Don't go away.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Today's American Indian Living radio program is sponsored in part by the Lifestyle Center of America. Located in South Central Oklahoma, the Lifestyle Center provides a variety of health services in Indian country, including residential diabetes treatment programs and their Wellspring DVD series, a prepackaged diabetes program suitable for home, workplace, or community center and used by people of all races. Further information about the center is available at lifestylecenter.org or by phone at 800-596-5480. American Indian Living is also sponsored in part by the Native Education and Health Initiative, known as NAHAI, a nonprofit organization established by Native Americans for Native Americans. In addition to sponsoring American Indian Living, NAHAI produces a health publication and has initiated a series of programs to combat diabetes. Further information about NAHAI is available at nahaicharity.org.
Canned vegetables. Hey, Duncan, get over here. Need you to stay with me and your brother, okay?
I am.
Well, closer. Come on, help me out here, buddy. Excuse me. Duncan, you're blocking me out.
I want some bologna.
Not today.
But I want to.
Sorry. Duncan.
I want to put the number thing.
Too bad.
Mommy would let me.
Yeah, well, she's not here, okay? She's gone, and she's not coming back, and you're just going to have to deal with it like the rest of us, okay? Duncan.
On May 29th, Michelle Jimenez was killed by a drunk driver. She left behind her husband and four children. Drinking and driving is a crime that kills abruptly, but the pain lasts forever. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to a pre-recorded broadcast of American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is your host.
Welcome to our final segment of today's edition of American Indian Living. Dr. David DeRose here with my guest, Dr. Nick DeFonso. Dr. DeFonso, an expert, published researcher and author on the subject of rumors and gossip. He's been trying to help us look at this health-destroying practice. And, Nick, as we've been speaking about gossip, I think we've gotten a clear message that it's not something that really we should be engaged in, ideally, and yet it seems so easy for people to slip into gossip and even transmitting things that can harm a person's reputation, even harm their mental health, their livelihood. Do you have any practical strategies on how a person can steer clear of this so they're not part of the problem?
Well, sure. There are a couple of things that I'd like to mention. One is that what do you do when someone comes up to you and shares a bit of negative information, rumor, or gossip about someone else? And one thing we can do is to gently not participate in this social interchange by just tactfully changing the subject. And if you do that repeatedly, people will eventually get the idea, get the message that you're not a good person to gossip with. And then another tact to take is to try to inject a little bit of unbelief into the gossip message itself. So if someone says, oh, did you hear what John, this bad thing that John did? And your response may be, well, you know, that might, I don't know about that. John may have had a good motive in doing that, if he did it at all, and I'm sure he was just trying to be helpful. And so it's a way of believing the best about somebody or trusting in someone's good motives in doing something. And I think if we take those tactics, if we use those tactics in our conversations, I think that will slow the spread of gossip. And, of course, not to spread it ourselves. The other thing to do in handling rumors and gossip is to check the truth of the item of information. I've already mentioned that one can go online to Snopes.com or TruthOrFiction.com to check out some of these more popular rumors on the Internet. But in situations that are more local and where it's appropriate to talk about a topic, go to another source that is supposed to know the answer or might know the answer. Go to your supervisor or go to the tribal leader or to the pastor of the church or to the rabbi at the synagogue and ask them whether or not this particular rumor is true. Of course, you have to be very careful because if it's just negative gossip about someone, then just simply asking about it may indeed spread the gossip. So you have to exercise judgment in whether or not asking itself will lead to greater gossip dissemination. And that's why I encourage people to go to someone who's likely to know the facts and can be a confidential person to have a conversation with.
So if you're hearing something bad about someone else, I think I've heard this from other folks, and you really dealt with this already, Dr. Nick, but trying to really almost advocate for that person, taking, a positive side, trying to see what good you can say about the person, raising questions about the rumor. But I've heard others say, well, if it's a rumor about someone else, even once that's spoken to you, it may be appropriate to actually talk with the person who the bad thing is being said about. Is that practical, or is that just raising undue concern in that person's life, or you kind of becoming the go-between in an argument because the person's going to say, well, who told you that? Or have you looked at that whole issue at all?
I haven't experimentally studied that issue, but I've considered it and looked at it using the principles of rumor and gossip transmission. It's a hard question, David. The answer is it depends. It depends on how serious the rumor is. If it's a gossip that is very detrimental to the person's reputation or their livelihood, then that indicates that we really ought to bring it up with the person. Sally, I heard this about you. I haven't shared it with anybody. It's so serious. I wanted to ask you for your side of the story. I'm very concerned. I want to know what the facts are. Can you share that with me? That's a much more appropriate response than not sharing it with Sally and simply spreading it about to other people. Mm-hmm. So if it's not a serious bit of gossip, however, if it doesn't threaten their livelihood or doesn't detract very much from their reputation, then I think some of these other measures that we talked about are more appropriate. They're a more measured response to hearing of gossip.
This may not be directly related to this, but I think it's something that often comes up in the dialogue, Dr. Nick, and that is, why do people believe rumors anyway? I mean, why do they seem to take to these things and just disseminate them oftentimes so widely? Is this something that's been pretty well established in the psychology literature?
Well, that's right. So I've identified four cues that people use to decide whether or not a rumor is true. And the first of these is whether or not the rumor agrees with something they already hold to be true or an attitude that they hold. So if a negative rumor comes along and it's about some other group with which you are in conflict, then be careful, because you're already predisposed to believe that rumor. You're already predisposed to spread it. It agrees with your negative image of that particular group. Secondly is credibility. We've talked about credibility a little bit earlier. Credibility is how trustworthy you judge the source to be and how expert you judge the source to be. So if a rumor comes from a source that you judge to be credible, trustworthy, and expert in that particular area, then you're more likely to believe it. Mm-hmm. Thirdly, if you hear a rumor again and again and again, if it's repeated again and again and again, all other things being held equal, we tend to believe these rumors more than if they're repeated than if they're not repeated. This should give us a little bit of pause, because simply hearing something again and again and again, even if it's from the same source, even if it's from the same person, the research that I've conducted in my laboratory shows that we tend to believe it more, substantially more, than if we just heard it once. Hmm. So be careful when you hear a rumor repeatedly. It may just seem more believable to you just because you've heard it repeatedly, rather than because you've heard it from a credible source or from someone who has the truth in mind and so forth. And then finally, if you hear a rumor and it goes unrefuted, sometimes companies or have the policy that they no comment policy, or sometimes people hear a rumor about themselves and they decide to do nothing about it. If the rumor just simply goes by unrefuted, if the person who is the target does not refute the rumor, then the people who hear the rumor will tend to believe it more strongly. So those four factors I found, attitude, agrees with your current attitude, source is credible, it's repeated, and there's no refutation. Those are cues that people use to increase their belief.
Wow, Nick. I mean, there's a lot of great information that I know you've researched. You've shared a lot of it with us on today's show, but I can imagine we've really only touched the tip of the proverbial iceberg, haven't we?
Absolutely. There's a lot more to share, and I love these one-on-one radio interchanges, but I always feel so sad because I haven't really been able to give all the information that I'd like to on the topic.
Nick, give us one more time your website so people can go there and get more information.
That's ProfessorNick.com or ProfNick.com for short. And again, if people are interested in especially the chapter on managing rumors.
Thanks so much, Nick. Listen, we've got to run. Dr. Nick DeFonso, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Dr. DeRose.
Thank you for listening to American Indian Living. We hope today's program has contributed to your living a healthy life. American Indian Living Radio is brought to you by the Native Education and Health Initiative in partnership with the Lifestyle Center of America and Life Talk Radio. American Indian Living is also distributed through the public radio satellite system by American Indian Radio on Satellite, a service of Native American Public Telecommunications.